In the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus said, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." And we've been looking at some things that come as a result of that abundant life that Christ has promised us. Last time we were looking at that there is abundant power, amen, that Christians can tap into, that work in us as a result of the abundant life that Christ has promised us. And we were looking at that abundant power. What is it? Amen. And we saw it is his regenerating power, his resident power, and we're going to pick up and see that abundant power is his written power, his written power, amen. And we want to turn to Luke chapter 4 in verse 32. And the word of God has this to say, "And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power." You see, you and I, we are born again by his word, are we not? In James chapter 1, verse 18, the word of God says this, "Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." And then in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, we read this, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." You see, my dear listeners, everything in the universe is held together by the word of his power. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, we are reminded, "Who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, and sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high." In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says that the word of God is what? Quick and powerful. So to tap into this power, we must read, believe, and live by the very words of God. Amen. Let's continue to look at this abundant power that we have, that we can tap into. It is his resurrection power. His resurrection power. In First Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19 and 20, we read this, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places." The power that raised Jesus from the grave is the power that resides in each and every born-again child of God. And to tap into that power, we must be made, as it says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, conformable unto his death. We won't use this power if we are still trying to gratify the old man. Amen. Now, let's look a little bit more. What is this abundant power? It is why we don't see this power in our lives. Why is it that we don't see this abundant power in our lives? Because, first of all, of unbelief. Unbelief or ignorance. In Matthew 22, verse 29, Jesus answered and said unto them, "You do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God." You see, the Sadducees missed the power of God and erred, not knowing the scriptures. Why don't we see this abundant power in our lives? Not only because of unbelief or ignorance, but hypocrisy. You see, powerless Christians have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. Amen. So we see that we don't see the abundant power in our lives because of unbelief or ignorance, hypocrisy, and fear. Number three, fear. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, the Word of God says, "God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." You see, my dear listeners, fear zaps the power of God from you and I. So we've seen, we've looked at, as a result of the abundant life that Christ has promised us, He's come to give us life and life more abundantly, we can tap into the abundant power that goes along with that. And we've seen that this abundant power is His regenerating power, His resonant power, His written power, His resurrection power. And then we saw the reason we don't use this abundant power, we don't see it in our lives, is because of unbelief or ignorance, hypocrisy, and fear. My dear listeners, we have abundant life in Jesus Christ. And with this abundant life comes abundant power. We have this abundant power, and we must allow God to manifest and utilize it in each and every one of us. The last thing we want to look at about the abundant life in Christ is, with our abundant life in Christ, we are also given abundant hope. Abundant hope. In Romans chapter 15, verse 13, we read this. "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope," here it is, "through the power of the Holy Ghost." This is not a hope that is based on a chance. This is hope established on the words of God. Let's look at some things. We have abundant hope in eternal life. In eternal life. Titus chapter 1, verse 2. Titus 1, verse 2, we read this. "In the hope," here it is, "in the hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began." You see, eternal life has been promised to us by God who cannot lie. Therefore, when you consider or face death, you are not hoping to go to heaven as if you are not sure. You are hoping to go to heaven in that you are absolutely sure. This certain hope gets you through this transition from this life to the next without fear. Amen. So we have abundant hope in eternal life. Not only that, we have abundant hope in the promises of God. In Romans chapter 4, in verses 16 through 18, the Word of God has this to say. Therefore, it is of faith, that it might be by grace, to the end of promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. You see, God had promised Abraham and Sarah a child, and they were too old to have a child. Yet they hoped against hope that Sarah would conceive and bear a child, and she did. It wasn't their hope, wishful thinking or belief in themselves that brought Isaac. No. It was the promise of God that Isaac would be born. You see, they hoped in that promise despite their lack of hope in themselves. As Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 tells us, faith is the substance of things hope for. My dear listeners, you can count on every promise that God gave you in this Bible. Amen and amen. So we see that as we have an abundant, with our abundant life in Christ, we're also given abundant hope. And we have abundant hope in eternal life, in the promises of God, and in the glory of God, in the glory of God. Now in Romans chapter 5, Romans 5, verses 3 to 5, we read this. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. The Christian life, when lived purely and genuinely, involves suffering and tribulation. Our hope that we will be glorified together with Christ is what gets us through the tribulation and suffering. In Romans chapter 8, verses 17 and 18, the words of God say this: if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Also look with me in Romans chapter 8, verses 24 to 26. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. You see, my dear friends, we can take the suffering when we are certain that it ends in glory. You see that hope. Hope in the glory of God. If you're going to live for God, if you're going to live for Jesus Christ, you shall suffer persecution. But you can take that suffering and get through that suffering because you are certain that it ends in glory based by the words of Almighty God. He has promised that. Amen. Let's move on to the next thing as we look at this abundant hope that we have because of the abundant life that Christ has promised each and every one, every born-again child of God. We have abundant hope in the fruitfulness of God's word. In the fruitfulness of God's word. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 10, we read this. Or saith he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in what? Hope. And he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. You see, sowing the word of God yields a harvest. And that harvest is eventually reaped. God's word never returns void. You see, you cannot sow the words of God through distribution and preaching. Amen. You can sow the words of God through distribution and preaching with absolute confidence that God's words bear fruit. And sometimes you may get frustrated, amen, and can't see the results. But you have to leave the results up to God. He has promised that you sow the words of God. Then you and I can have absolute confidence that God's word bears fruit. Now the devil will try to whisper in your ear, it's a waste of time. You're not seeing any results. He'll try to discourage you and bring you down. But that's why we have the word. God has given us his words, his promises. So when the devil whispers in our ears, or the flesh for that matter, says, why are you even handing out gospel tracts? So why are you even trying to witness to your neighbor or someone at work? Amen. You're not seeing any results. People are angry with you. They think you're a kook. Again, you go to the Word of God and you see that He has promised. Amen. If you keep on keeping on, you can with absolute confidence, no, God has promised that his words would bear fruit. That hope, it's that hope that keeps us sowing, even when we don't see the results. Think of Noah. He was a preacher of righteousness. He preached for year after year, day in and day out, and the only converts he had was his wife, his sons, and their wives. Amen. But if you keep sowing, he's promised there will be a harvest. God's word will bear fruit. You and I just need to keep on keeping on, keep doing it, regardless if we don't see the results or not. Amen. Because he has promised that his word would not return void. Now, again, we've seen that with our abundant life in Christ, we are also given abundant hope. And we have abundant hope so far we've seen in eternal life, in the promises of God, in the glory of God. Also, we saw in just now in the fruitfulness of God's word, and then next in God's calling. In God's calling. Let's look at first in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. We read this. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. You see that? The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Then Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4, tells us this. There is one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one, here it is, hope of your calling. So, when you and I do what God calls us to do, your work will turn out right. Amen. Look also in Philippians chapter 1, verse 20 with me. Philippians chapter 1, verse 20. According to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or death. You see, people are often too worried about duplicating a successful man's work in their own ministry. And they can feel like a failure if they don't accomplish what he did by the same means. This is a grave mistake. You see, God gives each of us a calling, a work to do. And it's not based on what he's given someone else to do or whatever results someone else has gotten. Amen. He wants you and he wants me to be faithful to his calling that he's given each and one of us. Take your eyes off so-and-so in their ministry. God doesn't want us comparing ministries with ministries. Each one is unique. Amen. Too many times, people will base whether a ministry is successful or not on the number of people that show up on a Sunday morning, or how much is put into the collection plate, or what kind of facility they have. That has nothing to do with it. Those are nice things, aren't they? But God's main thing is for you and I to be faithful in what he has given us to do. If we do that, we have the hope that if we do what God has called us to do, that it'll turn out right. See? God called you to perform a specific duty, a specific way. And when you do, the hope of your inheritance is sure. The hope of your calling is what helps you to be content doing what God wants you to do. Amen. See, too many times we get hooked into processes and procedures and organizations, and if you're not doing this, then you're not successful. If you don't do it this way, like we're doing it. No. God has given each of us, amen, a specific duty to do in a specific way. He's individually called us with individual plan and tasks, amen, for him. So concentrate, listen to God, follow God, keep your eyes on the Lord and not on brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so and their ministry. But what is God has called you to do? That's your responsibility. And you can have hope, can you not, in God's calling, that if you do what he's called you to do, that it'll turn out all right. Amen. So, again, the hope of your calling is what helps you to be content doing what God wants you to do. And remember this also. He looks at you and he sees, can you be faithful in the little things? And if you can be faithful in the little things, then he may give you bigger things to do. But he won't do that. No, he won't. Until you can show him that you can be faithful in the little things. Our last point as we looking at this abundant hope, amen, that we are given as a result of the abundant life in Christ. We have abundant hope in Jesus Christ. We have abundant hope in Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27 says this. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. Here it is, the hope of glory. And then in Titus chapter 2, verse number 13, we read this, looking for that blessed hope in the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You see, Jesus Christ is in you. Jesus Christ is the hope of glory. And Jesus Christ, he is coming back. He is our blessed hope. No matter how bad things get on earth, you have all the hope you need when you have Jesus on the inside of you. And no matter how bad things get, you have continual hope when you know he's coming back to get us out of here. In Christ, we don't just have hope. We have abundant hope. That's all the time we have today. My prayer is that God will richly bless each and every one of you, and good day.